Hey, everybody, it's Eric Balance coming to you with the Resilient Minds podcast, where I feature beautiful entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts in their field, where they help us discover their X factor, their experience of life, only to discover how they were able to accomplish and find out their Y factor, their big Y, their purpose in life. So join me as we get to discover the beauty of our minds and how can we really continue to go after the biggest and most wildest dreams while we continue to pursue and manifest our greatest intelligence that comes from the heart. Also, if you haven't, go check out the new alignment course that I've created at www.ericbalance.com/alignment, A-L-I-G-N-M-E-N-T. See you on the show. Welcome, everyone, to the Resilient Minds podcast. I'm excited. We got, you know, Stephen Brooks here. And I'm just pumped, bro. Like, I'm excited. For those of you that don't know much about Stephen, you know, he's got over 25 years experience in ecological thriving communities, beginning in 95 at the Punta Mona Center for Regenerative Design. And he's become a world leader in tropical permaculture, extensive botanical collection, and real useful plants. And I'm excited because we have so many mutual friends, bro. And your name's been popping up a lot. And I've been like, man, like, hey, you guys, you need to connect me with Stephen. I love what he's up to. You know, I want to throw him on the podcast. I want to get to meet him, get to know him. So, you know, sometimes this podcast, I have to say, is the biggest opportunity for me to just get to know great fucking people.
Awesome.
You awesome. Know? So, bro, yeah, thank you.
Great to meet you, Eric.
Likewise. Seriously. Yeah. So tell us, how's, you know, Costa Rica? Where are you at right now? What are you up to? What's transforming for you in the world?
Yeah, so... Yeah, right now I am in San Mateo, Alajuela, Costa Rica, and I'm in a eco-village called La Ecovia that I co-founded in 2006. And so in this one, there's 45 families from 22 countries living here. The parents co-created a school with 60 children in it. And yeah, it's a really interesting model. You know, it's like, in some ways it's, you know, it's like a, you know, just like a community, you know, yet it's infused with permaculture and ecological design. So, you know, the roads are made from these recycled plastic grates. We have all of our septic goes into a giant methane digester. Instead of having like a big golf course, we have huge gardens. I actually just came from there right now. The gardens are pumping. With our HOA dues, we get huge baskets of food every week. It's really thriving. And I think more than anything is like, when we think about our neighbors, like who are our neighbors and why, you know, it's just like so random. Like, why do we have, like, who lives next door and why? It's usually just because that house went for sale, you know, and that person was in their price range. So they moved there, you know, and certainly we're not trying to like create monocultured neighborhoods, but like, how can we surround ourselves with people with similar values? I mean, up the street, we started another community that's called Alegria Village, and that's 145 families from 36 countries. And what's so amazing is that there's people from 36 countries. Who knows? There's, you know, countless languages, you know, and there's traditions and religions. And yet there's this common thread of people that really want to take care of the earth and take care of our watersheds and support surrounding communities. It's like, and it's so overwhelming to think about, like, how are we gonna shift this broken trajectory this planet is on? You know, it's like so overwhelming, like alone, I can't do anything. Yet, you know, when all of a sudden you're like a whole community of people trying to shift things, it's incredible what's possible.
You know, I wanna challenge you because I think that the first thing that you needed to do was look after yourself so that you can have this energy that you set out to do in 95 to continue doing what you're doing today. So I'm just saying.
I know. I think you're right. 100%. It's like, you know, and you often see that like in activist communities, like people are like putting their like life on the line for the orangutans or for, you know, protecting forests. yet they don't even brush their teeth in the morning because they're so crazy and busy. You know, it's like, yeah, it's really important. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to be in balance. And yeah, it's crucial. It's crucial. Yeah. We can't do anything if we're not taking care of ourselves.
100%. And I think that this is where, you know, I had an interview earlier today with Roto, and he says, hello.
Oh, wow. We just saw each other.
Yeah. He was like, hey, I gotta tell him I say hello. So
I know I was supposed to go to his ceremony in Ibiza and I just didn't work out.
And you know, he's having another one in September. So anywho, the point that we brought up was, hey, you know, like, how are our experiences as like brothers and sisters? You know, we are so now in such common unity, community around the globe at such a big level, and we're growing so fast. And, you know, it's like, you know, you're in Costa Rica, he's in Paris, and I'm here in Dubai, and we're just like constantly growing with this mission, because our experiences have come from such a deep foundation of getting to know ourselves. So my question for you, brother, is what started it? What was this deep like understanding or experience within your own life that was like, this is what I have to do? Or what was that barrier that you broke through and you're like, I'm making this happen and I'm making this the reality?
Yeah. So, I mean, there was definitely one instance in my life that totally rocked me, but I mean, a couple of things. I grew up in Miami, Florida, in the suburbs, and my dad was a dentist of an island in the Bahamas. And I spent a lot of my childhood in the water. I was like obsessed with tropical coral reefs and tropical fish. I had 600 gallons of fish tanks in my house, all filled with things that I caught, you know? So it's like, that was like an early age kind of connection to nature. I'll fast forward a little bit to October 14th, 1988. I found myself at the Miami Arena at my first Grateful Dead concert, which totally cracked me open. It was really the first time I was just surrounded by common, you know, values and visions and interests. And then, you know, and then psychedelics come into play, you know, and it's like, whoa, we're part of something much bigger. And then to fast forward a little bit, I came to Costa Rica in 1995 and I witnessed a playground full of indigenous children get sprayed by a Chiquita banana crop duster. And it rocked my freaking life. It was just like, emergency brake on life. Like, what am I going to do about this? Like, how can I even do anything else but try to shift this? You know, it's like, I'm ready to put every ounce of my life into, you know, it's like, these are indigenous people that have like, are like the most beautiful, humble, you know, they've treated the earth like an extension of their bodies for centuries. And here we are spraying them with neurotoxic chemicals so we can get flawless, cheap bananas. It's like, how is this happening? And the banana industry is just one of so many industries globally that are so unfair, you know? So I decided in that moment that I wanted to dedicate my life to seeing if there's a, another way to do things. So, yeah.
Amazing, brother. And so now that you've been on that journey for, you know, over 20 years, what is the most thing that, like, as you come into these different, because I'm certain you've been through your fair share of challenges.
Oh yeah, still not been through, still in the midst of them.
Yeah. So tell me, what's been something that, you know, maybe if you want to share something current, a current challenge that maybe you're facing, that has been something that is really like. Because, you know, oftentimes we're very focused on the solution, right? Like, as individuals that are coming from this awareness, you know, we have this common understanding of, hey, let's find solutions. Let's create solutions. Let's look at solutions. What are we doing as a society to cultivate and curate solutions for our friends, our family, the people that we love, you know, the world, the earth? And so I think that oftentimes problem-oriented individuals are just focused on the problem. And I know that, you know, you come from this place of solution-oriented kind of belief system. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. So like, tell me, what is some of the solutions, you know, that you're currently facing of creating? And maybe instead of focusing on the problem, how did you adapt into that philosophy of believing that there's a solution for everything?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say one of the biggest challenges when you're a radical forward thinker is you're constantly surrounded by and working with people that aren't there. You know, so it's a constant, whether you're working with government in permitting or you're working in sales, you know, it's like, it's so, you know, it's a challenge to, you know, it's almost like speaking a different language. Like if you're in a place where you speak a different language than everybody, it's like hard to communicate. Like, you know, it's the way that we're like the things that we're trying to do here coming from a place that's not like 1000%, you know, bottom line driven, you know, it's like, how can we, you know, and then I think the solution is just like, it's not what happens to us in our lives, you know, but it's the way we handle it. You know, it's like, how can we let these challenges not, you know, throw us off our center and yeah, make us lose our north. You know, it's like today, for instance, I'm dealing with the municipality of the town where I am. And we're like finishing up this project with 145 families. And this, it's by far the biggest development that's ever happened in this whole area, by far, you know? And calendar. I closed all my things, but my calendar's still throwing things at me. You know, it's like we're you know, broaching concepts that the person that works in the road and public works office of the municipality cannot even fathom. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're just like rigid in their way, you know, and in the way that they've dealt with things in the past, so that they don't really know how to, you know, a lot of people don't even really use their brains. They just like are so, you know, by what the book says, you know, and who wrote that book.
I love this, dude. Like, I feel like I'm speaking to such a beautiful mirror, because these challenges that you're speaking of are very powerful ones that I continue to go through in my evolution. And to me, it's been really hey, I know what's possible, and I know where we're headed, you know, for the next 2-3 decades. And these challenges continue to come, and I face them right head on, you know. And I know that, like, when you started, you did this as well, right? Like, you're a pioneer, right? And mm-hmm. So in your own way, how was it that you've navigated, you know, to finding investors, to cultivating all of these, you know, transformational spaces, to helping so many things happen? What was that North Star for you, and how, when it was time, or like when it was difficult, when you were, bro, I failed so much in the past like 3 years that it's not even funny. Like, I'm sure, I don't know if Nadav had told you, but like, I've failed a lot, and I failed forward successfully, you know what I mean? But the thing is like, they're not, but, and the thing is, it's so exciting to start seeing the momentum happen, you know? And I know that it's happening already. It's already like through it. So, and how have you been able to navigate to continue when those things fall through to move forward? What was it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think more than anything is like the messages you get, whether it's like in an Instagram or like a DM in Instagram or just like random, you know, it's like I know what we're doing is radically changing and improving people's lives so deeply, you know? So it's like, you know, that is so much more valuable than any paycheck or any, you know, it's like, it feels so good to know you're making the earth better and you're improving people's lives while doing it. You know, that you just have to keep pressing on. It's like, you know, it's like when we started Punta Mona, it was like, we're not a hotel. We're not a school. We don't follow the rules of a hotel. We don't follow the rules of a, you know, school. Like, I'm not even sure what we are, you know? It's like hard. It's like, you know, the Babylon gives you like category. What's the word?
Categories.
Yeah. Jeez. I'm like half in Spanish thinking. I just did an interview in Spanish. So, you know, it's like, and how do you put what you're doing in to fit them into those boxes when they're not, you know? Mm. So I think like, yeah, again, it's not like, it's not what happens, but how we handle it. You know, we just, challenges are going to keep arising. Yeah. You know, I'm in a challenge right now. Punta Mona has been closed for a year. My baby, my child, the project that I started, you know, 28 years ago, I poured my entire life into it, you know, and in the moment, it's like, what the fuck, you know, like, how could this be happening? Like, this place is doing so much good. Like, how could this be happening? And just like, you know, taking like the zoom out and just, you know, having faith that every, you know, it all comes down to faith, you know, it's like deep faith that the universe knows what she's doing and that she's got you. And that even in the hardest moments, like if you're in a heartbreak or you're, you know, your business just failed or you just lost a bunch of money in investment, knowing, like deeply knowing that the universe has you and it's holding you and it's carrying you. And these lessons are just exactly what you need, even in the moment you can't even fathom how or why.
Yeah. I love that. That really resonates, bro. Like, you have no idea. And it's like seeing all of that, you know, because we're so conditioned by these failures to like be like, oh, poor me, all this. But seeing them as such gifts has been the greatest blessing of discovery, like in oneself. And I think that, you know, if more people started seeing that there actually is no failure, that we're being so held in evolving by understanding, like from this solution perspective of seeing things as gifts, and like embracing all of it, like to really bring our true passions forward, that can be also the passions of so many others if we follow that, you know what I mean? And I think that, you know, just as yourself, you had this deep desire inside of you. And as a result, you attracted so much, like, you know what I mean? You're a trailblazer, right? And as a result of trailblazing, you paved that path and a lot of people came with you, you know? So for anybody out there that is really uncertain about following that heart's intelligence within themselves, what would you tell them if they were listening right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the earth is screaming such beautiful messages, you know, and the plants in particular. You know, if you're going to put a little title under my name, Eric, I'm an ethnobotanist, which is the study of the relationship between humans and plants. Mm. And we used to have an incredible ability to communicate with plants and listen to them and let them guide us in so many ways. And not them guide us, but us guide them and them guide us. It's like, we're in this together, you know? And we've lost that ability and we're not listening and we're, you know, addicted to our phones and we're addicted to our social media and we've lost that ability, you know? I would recommend people to find mentors, you know? I would recommend people like to not be afraid. I think about this woman, Maddie, who works with me, and I have a project called Ecoversity. She's like the COO of Ecoversity, and she just turned 24. And we met because she was an intern at Envision. She like studied like music industry business stuff, and she ended up coming on as an intern in the marketing department at Envision. And she showed up so strong, like you know, and she told me, I'll never forget, like one time she told me that her father once told her that, you know, when you are, especially when you're starting, like show up and be the hardest hardest working person in the room, you know, like just show up big, like literally like observe what's happening. Where can you support, you know? And like, I'm watching a toucan just flew right in front of me. And now she's like running a company and she has an incredible job and a big salary. And she's, you know, and she, you know, and she's 24, you know, and like, you know, and meanwhile, there's like 50-year-olds that want to be interns, like with all these talents and experience. And yet she's running the show, you know, and it's, and I think also like she went like, don't be afraid to like reach out to people that you admire, you know, and really thoughtfully, you know, think about what you're going to say. Like, for instance, we started talking this morning, you know, I told you I did this interview with this just kind of like very random guy this morning, you know, in Spanish. And, you know, I get lots of requests to do interviews and to meet, and people want to come visit what I'm doing. And, you know, it's like, you have to decide which, you know, it's like, you try your best, you can't meet with everybody, you know, but like just the humility that this guy wrote me and like the respect that he showed. And I also, maybe because it was in Spanish, like I like supporting, you know, Latin. There's so much content and there's so much in English that I think it's important to, yeah, just, you know, I love supporting anything in Latin America. But anyway, I think the advice I would give is like, you know, what do you like to do? Do it more. What don't you like to do? Stop doing it or start phasing out from that. And really tune into your senses. Like, I love the Spanish word saborear. Saborear means to savor. But the root of it, sabor, is like flavor. Like sabor means flavor. Saborear is the verb, like to take in the flavor. You know, so I think it's really important to like tune into our senses. Like, what truly makes us feel good? You know, what truly makes us shine and thrive? You know, and how can we identify it? You know, and it doesn't mean like by tomorrow I'm going to quit everything else I'm doing and doing that, but like write it down. And like, how can you find maybe a job that has you doing that? Or how can you, you know, immerse that into your reality? You know, in permaculture is a design philosophy, you know, and so much of my work is like rooted in design. You know, it's like we're designing communities and we're designing gardens, but at the end, we're just designing our lives, you know? And what in a garden, we're deciding what plants we want to put in our garden based on the uses that they have and the space that they'll take up and their life over time, you know? It's the same in our life. Like, what elements do we want to place in our lives and how much space will they take up and for how long? And so, I mean, it's really just a full blown design challenge, you know, and design decisions of what really drives us and makes us feel alive and makes us feel good and brings us purpose, you know? And it's like that, this idea of purpose is so crucial because, you know, at the end of the day, that's really what makes us alive. My neighbor, Patty, my Jamaican old Caribbean neighbor, used to say, boy, you can't carry it with you to the burying ground, boy. You know, it's like, you can't take it with you to the burying ground, you know? So like, you know, really hone in on what's making you thrive. And while I'm talking about him, Patty, another quote that I love of his that's so deep is he used to say, boy, if you design things right, no, he used to say plan. If you plan things right, all you do is reap. So deep. Like, if you plan or if you design things the way that works for you, you're just going to thrive. So
I think this is really profound knowledge and extremely important, because I think, you know, we're artists of our life. We get to really paint our picture, and, you know, what we design it, we paint it. And it's something that I really believe in. You know, I think that the reason to so many of these beautiful experiences, speaking for myself, have happened is really allowing to see the deep connection with spirit and, you know, understanding it when you don't actually have to take any of the medicine, but you can start seeing the medicine actually in the reality without having to be inside of that realm. It really becomes something beautiful, and we start to be able to actually really dance with the divine. And this is what really I'm excited about, you know, because I think that there's more people that can tap into this level of wisdom and knowledge and awareness. And it excites me, because people, once they can do this, they'll start taking more responsibility of their lives. And it's in a fun, playful, experiential way that helps us recognize that, hey, we're just big kids hanging out in the best park called Planet Earth. Let's go and make some magic happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, you know, and it's one thing to hear something, and it's another to like deeply integrate it into your being, you know, and into your way, you know. It's like, you know, it, you read these like memes, and you read these like, you know, Ram Dass, or you know all of these great, you know, wisdom. You know, and you could read the same quote 50 times, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I get that. I see how that could really drive and guide me, you know. And but it might have taken 100 times of reading it, you know. It's like, yeah, I the other day was the Lion's Gate 8-8. Yes. Was the other day, and yeah, and I went to this. What was interesting, because like in our community we have these WhatsApp groups, and this woman in our WhatsApp group was inviting us to the lion portal, you know, meditation. And I was like, oh yeah, and I had a friend here visiting, and so we decided, oh yeah, let's go. We'll go to the meditation. Great. So we go to the meditation, and it wasn't a meditation. It was really a class, and so this woman just starts, you know, really going deep into gene codes and deep into lessons that she's learning. And it was super esoteric, yet, you know, it's like this interesting reality of like where science meets spirituality, and I love everything she said. Like, I, you know, sometimes I'll sit in like a class and I'm like totally attention deficit, and I'll, you know, and I really appreciated everything she said, yet I didn't really feel like it was for me right now, you know. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, and it's interesting, because it like I was like flashing back to similar talks, you know, right now, like the craze around Joe Dispenza and that whole reality, and she's like a, you know, like a disciple of Joe Dispenza, you know. And I remember back in 2001, there was this guy Nassim, you know, in the transformational festival circuit, giving similar talks. Mm-hmm. You know, and about tuning into frequency, and I so appreciate it. You know, I so appreciate everything that, you know, and that's not just for me right now. Like, what's for me right now in my path is I want to focus on helping get people onto the land. Like, who is your tribe? Who are your people? And it's not necessarily your best friend. How can you, you know, start having meetings? You know, how can you start having, you know, creating groups where you start listing criterias of what the dream, what your collective dream looks like, you know? And maybe it looks like buying a small brownstone in Brooklyn together, and, you know, raising your kids there. Or maybe it means like buying 100 acres in Costa Rica together and starting a community. Or maybe it means, you know, going to Southern Spain and or whatever it, you know, whatever it is. It's like, you know, press pause, go do your vision quest, go drink your ayahuasca, go to Burning Man, do whatever it is that might help you to hone in on your path, and and start doing it, because otherwise we just zigzag, you know, we just zigzag through life. You know, it's like, we don't know where we're going. We're never going to get there, you know? And it's like, you know, often we just kind of get, you know, life kind of just, yeah, it just kind of like pulls us along, you know, and we get stuck, and we get mortgages, and we have children, and we have, you know, a job that we don't like, or we're in a relationship that's not really working, you know, and we just endure. And I hate that word, you know, it's like, we don't want to just endure anything. Like, what are you enduring, you know, exactly. And how can you shift it, you know?
You know, I love what you're sharing, and I'm just paying attention. I'm going to share with you what I hear, because it's really important. And, you know, you're wearing a shirt that says come, like C-O-M-E. What does it say underneath? It come as you are. I love it. Amazing. So you're wearing a gray shirt saying come as you are. Yesterday, I watched this movie called Runner Runner about Costa Rica.
What's it called?
With Matt, Runner Runner with Matt Damon. Or sorry, not Matt Damon. Justin Timberlake. And yeah, they were in Costa Rica. It's not about Costa Rica. They were in Costa Rica. The setting was in Costa Rica. Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake. And it was about, really? Like, you know, this. Yeah, it was like called Runner Runner.
Oh, and I just saved it for its own.
Yeah. And really good. Really good movie. But I was like, okay, so Costa Rica's popping up. You know, all of a sudden, like, I'm talking to Steven. You're the words say come as you are. You know, like, it's interesting. Maybe I need to go to Costa Rica at some point. You know, like, it's interesting how you have to start paying attention. Yes.
Have you ever been?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So I went in there twice and love it. Lots of things to do. And you know, I've in Brazil tried to do like a, you know, a raise for land. There was like 144 hectares of beautiful land. Then I tried doing something in Ibiza. Same thing. It was a big plot, like 7 hectares, very close to Lucian's house, actually. Across it was in the valley. It was in the valley there, very beautiful, part of Benirás. And both places, like, it didn't work out, and it's fine. But what I realized over that experience, right, was that I actually wanted to go deeper within myself and understand myself as an individual. And so really, like, all of this stuff that I was trying to put the energy in, it was about actually making the connection deeper within myself. And so what I learned from these stories was, how can we continue to, like you said, go through these deeper journeys, whatever that looks like to each individual, but by building this relationship with ourselves to then really step into your expression and do what you love to do most. And so I think that for the universe, you get to decide whatever you want. You know, the universe is always going to guide you in whichever way. And so it's just as important to know what you don't want as it is what you do want. And so when you made these choices to say, hey, listen, you know, like, Steven, this is what I really totally want. How was it that beingness of who you are, the essence of Steven, you know, it was just like, this beautiful essence of who you are, and then everything started to come to you. Because you know how many people in the world, right? They're focused so much on the doing part, right?
Yeah.
The illusion that there is no guidance from the universe, that they need to go and prove themselves. And I'm saying that was me. You know, that was who I was for the longest time, brother. You know, from these different experiences. But then it was like, okay, Eric, you actually get to be now. And then everything started to just slowly start to, like, I'm starting to see it. Like, it's divine magic. I swear, it's beautiful. So this experience that you started to understand and comprehend, how important do you feel that it is for our brothers and our sisters around the world doing whatever they want, like, with their heart, with their intention, to really come to this place so they know that there's nothing they need to prove?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the only thing there really is to prove to yourself, you know, to prove to yourself that, you know, that you're worthy and you deserve, you know, the most magical, blissful life, you know, and that nothing great is easy. You know, it's like you see like trust fund kids and you think, oh my God, they just must have it so easy. Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, think about your biggest trust fund friends and look at their lives. How are they doing? You know, it's like, it's challenging. Everything's challenging, you know, and it's, again, it's not what happens to you in your reality. It's how you handle it. It's how you confront challenges. It's how you show up, you know, and again, I think it's just like this connection with spirit and this connection with the earth is just so important, you know. It's like really listening to the trees and really listening and taking that space to unplug and reconnect and listen, you know, and also don't get attached, you know. I'm going through this right now. It's like, you know, it's like we get attached to, you know, a certain way things are, or even certain places or relationships, or, and it might be totally different than that, you know, and that's okay. You know, it's like, you know, it's like I keep thinking about Punta Mona being closed, you know, and it's like, I know it's going to reopen. I have full faith. It's going to be better and bigger and more powerful than ever, you know, and, you know, and if it doesn't, it's radically changed tens of thousands of people's lives. Wow. As I'm talking to you, there's like literally 100 vultures in this,
yes,
in this epic like thing right here. It's not very, you want to see? I don't know if you'll be able to see, but
I'm please, yes, if we can see it.
Can you see them up
no,
there?
No, you can't see them.
Yeah.
Wow, that view is amazing.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. It's just so amazing. Yeah. This is my desk, my office.
It's,
you know, and, you know, but even just like as I'm sitting here, like focused on you and noticing, like, why are all those vultures there? What is their message? You know, what do I need to compost? You know, it's like, that's what vultures do, is they come in and they eradicate your garbage, you know, and your waste and you know, and it's just like listening to the signs, listening to the messages, you know, what should I do next? Who should I hang out with? You know,
Yeah. You
know, who's inspiring me? I need to hang out with those people more. Who's, you know, slurping my energy, you know, how I need to spend less time with them, you know, and sometimes it's important to put pause on relationships. I think that's something that I'm learning so much from my partner, is that sometimes you need to press pause on relationships, you know, and it doesn't mean that you're not their friend anymore. It just means like right now in this moment in time, you know, your frequency isn't serving mine, you know, and I need to hone in on frequencies that are, you know, and that's okay. You know, it's okay. And it's a journey, and sometimes it's hard to communicate that, and it's hard to not take things personal, and you know, and sometimes people are going to say that to you, and I have that happening right now. A really dear friend of mine is like, yeah, he's just taking space from me.
Yeah,
you know, and it sucks, and I'm hurt, you know, and I reached out to him the other day and I wrote, I was like, hey, yo, like, what's up, you know, did I do something, like, what's going on? And he's like, no, I'm just like, I'm in a really inward space right now, and I just need space from, you know, and I'm taking it personally, like I did something, but, you know, but maybe like in some ways my success or like my, you know, grandness isn't what he needs right now, mm-hmm. You know, and that's okay. You know, that's okay. Just trust that it's all in some higher alignment that one day we'll understand or not.
And be okay with that too. I love it. Because then there's no expectation, and it keeps you in this pure joy, experiential wisdom that you're going through. And then it's like there's this unconditional love, right? There's this unconditional love pointed outwards because it's pointed inwards first, right? And I think I really want to know. And I like, because I know that you're doing some cool stuff with Zac Efron. I'm just curious to know, tell me about that whole situation. What's happening there? How's that going? How's that feeling? I'm curious to know.
Yeah, I mean, and that was a miracle. That was like a miracle. You know, Darren Olean, who was the guy who was the partner in the show. You know, we didn't even really know each other. He was kind of a fan of mine, like, because I'm like out there in the superfood world, but I'm not out there marketing, because he was more like in the, you know, he was more like in the industry side of superfoods. But he saw me out there growing them and hunting them. So we kind of knew each other through like the natural food world, and he reached out to me and said, "Hey, Steven, I'd love to, you know, I want to reach out to you about something. I'm working with this child actor, on this TV show." And to be honest with you, I never heard of Zac Efron.
Okay.
I never heard of him. I think the only reason maybe I did like recognize his name was like from tabloid magazines, like at the checkout in the supermarket, you know? And so he said, "Yeah, we're going around the world doing this show, and we'd love to come visit you in Costa Rica." I was like, "Yeah, sure, great." And I remember that was like in, I don't know, maybe February or March of 2018. And then he opened a WhatsApp group like in July of 2018, and with like me, him, and like a bunch of producers. And he's like, "Yeah, this is my friend Steven. Like, we need to go visit him in Costa Rica for the show." Yeah. And then we had a call with all these people, and they were like, "Yeah, we're on." And then, you know, and then it happened, you know, they came here. And then in the meantime, I started learning like, what a big deal. What a big deal Zac Efron was. And it was great. Yeah. I really liked him. You know, he's awesome. Yeah. We helped like unload the bags, you know, at each stop. He wasn't like a prima donna, you know. He was cool, and we hung out, you know. We spent a week together, and I haven't spoken to him since. I'm more in touch with his brother Dylan.
Yeah.
I'm actually was trying to get them to come to Burning Man this year. I'm always trying to get people to go to Burning Man. it was a real before and after, because it was like a 30-minute commercial for everything I'm doing, very well produced, that was the number one show on Netflix for 11 days internationally. To be the number one show for 11 days is a long stretch for them. Yeah. It was great. You know, it was great. I mean, all my projects exploded. Like, you know, most of the people that bought in Allegria Village in the community, the 145 family community, came to us because they heard about us on Zac Efron. You know, and even just 2 days ago, Darren posted a photo on Instagram of the two of us. Mm-hmm. And again, my Instagram like just exploded, and all these people are reaching out to me. "Wow, Steven, you know, that was our favorite episode." One person I was just reading through the comments yesterday in the picture was like, "Yeah, that episode changed my life." You know? And so I think I was on a television show in 2005 on the Travel Channel called Edible Adventure. I was the host of the show. Now I'm dedicated. I'm really dedicated to cracking that code of television. And I'm working right now with this like A-list Mexican actress who's like literally like one of the most famous actresses in Latin America. And we're working on the show where we're going to travel around the world, finding, you know, it's visiting communities around the world and learning, whether it's the kibbutz in Israel, whether it's Damanhur in Italy, or Oroville in India, which is, you know, 50,000 people that started 30 years ago. They've had their own currency for 20 years. You know, what can we learn from these communities so that we could go big? And that's what's next here for us in Costa Rica. My partner Andrea and I started a project called Eterna, which Nadav is part of. And the idea is, how can we take all these elements from, you know, like what we've done with Envision, with the festival reality and Burning, all the things I've learned, you know, this will be my 18th Burning Man, you know, all the things that we've learned from that, all the things I've learned in agriculture and earth stewardship, you know, all the stuff with education through Punta Mona and now Ecoversity, you know, merged with the community design that we've learned here in La Ecovía and Alegría and another community we started called Tacotal. And how can we merge all of these pieces in together to create, you know, the city of the future? And so that's what we're doing. Yeah, we just raised a bunch of money and this next year is big, and I feel it. You know, I know this television show is happening. We haven't really even announced it yet, but it's happening. She's coming to Burning Man with me this year, that's going to be a big kind of test of our relationship, but also, you know, it's going to really gel all of the ideas that have been flowing. I mean, it's like I just often keep saying, like, if not now, when? If not,
exactly.
If not you, who? It's really time to wake up and collaborate, you know, wake up and collaborate. You know, the days of competition are over, you know, the days of mine and me and, you know, are don't work, you know? And so, yeah, I feel I have so much gratitude to my family. My parents have just been so incredibly supportive, and I don't take that for granted. I have the most loving sister. My family,
without them, we're nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I'm able to even dream the way I dream because I came from such a, you know, with such a lack of trauma in my home.
Yeah. Same. Big time. I can resonate with that big time. That like ability to like dance because of my parents, the love. Yeah. I'm telling you, bro, like, go after everything because of that love and because of continued support, you know, like, it's totally magic. And, you know, bro, I really, you know, I would love to just share with you some of my ideas about like metaverse and NFT space with the community and how like bringing all of this together can really be a enhancement through tech and crypto and all of it. And a summit that I really want to create here in Dubai, you know, so like really bridging all of this in a great way and, you know, again, collaborating on different ways. I think this would be a lot of fun in different experience or when we talk online or offline. But I'm curious to know what's next for you with this project, Eterna. You know, I know that you're going big. And then also, if you had, you know, 3 days left to live, what would be these next 3 days looking like when it comes to this?
Well, I mean, so what's next is, Eterna is happening. We just closed on two big properties in Nosara. And
I love Nosara.
Yeah, we're doing some big projects. One of them is 100 acres on the beach. The other is like 250 acres, you know, 5 minutes from the beach. And we're, you know, it's like, I think a really important piece is like, we can't leave the Costa Ricans behind. Like for me, I'm so dedicated. And my partner Andrea has brought this like, so like how, you know, it's like all these cool new age people are coming from all over to Costa Rica, but how can we make it so it doesn't become like another Tulum or like, you know, where like the Costa Ricans live in the other side of the tracks and work and they like, you know, clean the tables, you know, it's like, how can we really create balance and inclusion? So that's kind of what's next. We're ready to really create this replicable model of communities that we can start doing in Portugal and in Medellin and in, you know, Spain and in Sri Lanka. And, you know, it's really merging what we eat with where we live with really good ecological design. So that's what I'm excited about. And the 3 days to live. I would eat a lot of durian. I love durian. It's my favorite fruit. I mean, I I don't know if I would just try to surround myself with all the people that I love and have all the most amazing foods and all my favorite music and all the things that I love, you know, being immersed in that, you know, maybe I'd go see Fish. I'm obsessed with Fish, the band. Yeah. I mean, those are kind of my truths. I'm so dedicated to my family. I'm so dedicated to my friends. Yeah. And I'm so dedicated to this planet and trying to figure out strategies to help her thrive.
Brother, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I really loved enjoying the time that you offered, you know, and it was really a special time. I'm really grateful. I'm, you know, super curious. I'm certain that in some way, shape or form, there's going to be ideas that come from this or different ways that, you know, we can collaborate in the near future.
And, I'm coming to Dubai for your summit.
Yes. Amazing. Love it.
Hey, everyone. And thank you so much for listening to the Resilient Minds. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please make sure to go comment and like and follow us on iTunes or Spotify. And make sure, please make sure that if you really love this, to share this episode. And make sure that you're inviting all your friends to like it as we continue to unfold what the beauty of our minds does. More importantly, how powerful our heart level of intelligence can be when we combine our heart and our brain together. And more importantly, check out the alignment course that I've created. It's seriously there for you to take advantage of at www.ericbalance.com/alignment. See you on the next show.